Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
What's up, everyone, and happy Wednesday. You've made it halfway through the week, so let's keep going. You're almost there. Hopefully you've been putting in work so far, because the Eagles players sure have. Well, kinda. After reaching an agreement with head coach Nick Sirianni, the players returned for a modified version of spring training, and earlier today, some of the team leaders took to the podium to speak with the media, and it's locked, loaded, and ready for you. I'm your host, Rachel Prevett, and this podcast is brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Before the break, you'll hear from Jalen Hurts. He touched on entering his second season, his status as starting QB, some of the Eagles' offseason moves so far, including trading Carson Wentz and signing Joe Flacco, and he even touched on Devontae Smith. And after the break, you'll hear from Jason Kelce, who touched on the second-round pick Landon Dickerson and the relationship that they've been developing so far. He also touched on changing coaching staffs and Nick Sirianni's energy and his role as a veteran player. Jason Kelce will be followed by Brandon Graham, who discussed what it's like being the longest tenured player with the Birds at 12 years. And he also touched on passing the torch down to younger players. Here's what the fellas had to say.
Obviously, a lot of change for you. Second year come in. You're doing this as ostensibly the quarterback one. You're changing coaching staffs. Do you think you have that commitment from this staff? Nick has preached competition. How do you see the situation?
You know, I value everything that coaches brought here. You know, I remember back in my days at Alabama, you know, Coach Saban, hearing him talk about discipline, commitment, effort, toughness, and pride, having these core values that he's trying to instill in the team. And in the end, it all worked out for the team. You know, you see Coach Nick Sirianni coming in, preaching connection, preaching accountability and competition and fundamentals and football IQ, preaching all these things. And I know in all of those different avenues, all those different values and principles that we're, you know, trying to instill here in Philly, no one is above that. And everybody got to go to work, you know. So for me, I know rent is due every day. It's always been that way for me. Always been a get better mentality every day, grow every day, be a better leader every day, be a better quarterback every day. And when that rent's due, I don't plan on missing no payments. So it's work.
Go ahead, John Clark, and then Martin Frank.
Hey, Jalen, just how much different is this second year for you? Last year coming in as the backup, Carson was here, and you didn't have preseason games, and you had a virtual offseason. Just how much different is it this year for you?
You going on a jog today?
I had to get a little exercise in.
Yeah, I think I'm very happy that we're able to kind of get in the building now. One, get acclimated to new coaches. New system, you know, you got some new faces in the building. I think all of that's important to our growth as a football team. And I'm happy we're able to do that. And I think, you know, you're going to have differences and changes everywhere. But ultimately, we talk about being committed. And I think that's what it comes down to, right? Being committed to what coach is preaching and going out there and, you know, playing together and believing in one another.
Go ahead, Martin, and then Zach Berman.
Hey, Jalen. It's been a while since we talked, and obviously a lot has happened. Carson got traded. You guys, you know, signed Joe Flacco, and you know, when Nick Sirianni has talked to us, he hasn't come right out and committed to you as a starting quarterback. And I was kind of wondering, like, how you feel about all those changes and also your status as, you know, whether or not you're the starting quarterback. Thanks.
Yeah, I say Joe has been great. Joe has been great. The knowledge he brings to the quarterback room is very beneficial for me. He has a great mind with those things, and obviously has a lot of great experience. So I look forward to working with him and having him there. As far as everything else, I know I'm not above anything with a competition or football IQ. All the values we have, I'm not above none of that. So that's kind of where that is.
Go ahead, Zach, and then Jeff McClain.
Hey, Jalen, it's obviously a new offense. What sense do you have of what this offense will look like, how you'll fit in it, and kind of how it can tailor toward your skill set?
Yes, sir. I think we just want to be efficient. We want to be efficient. You know, you look at how you grow and anything that you do, you know, those things consist of not making the same mistakes. And ultimately, you learn from your mistakes. So I think it takes deliberate intention going in there, knowing what I want to improve on every day and going out there and doing it, striving to do it, having true intent. And, you know, you don't want to be a repeat defender. So we just want to grow. We got a lot of new faces, young players in different positions, and we just want to grow together.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then Dave Zangaro.
Jalen, you've obviously known Brian Johnson for a long time. Can you tell us about your relationship over the years, and what do you know about him as a coach, and what do you think? What do you think he'll bring out the best in you?
Yeah, you know, I grew up watching Coach Johnson, Coach BJ play down there at East Houston, Baytown Lee, where my dad coached, and I was a little preschooler, 4 years old, 5 years old, running around, doing everything that they were doing. And he played there at Baytown Lee, my dad coached him. And he's really kind of always been there in terms of being around and in my life, being someone maybe I checked on or my dad checked on. He's always kind of had a presence in my family. And, you know, I know when I went to college, he was trying to get me to come to Mississippi State. He recruited me there. I ended up going to Bama. And I don't know. He always talked about getting the opportunity to coach me, and obviously not going to Mississippi State or Florida, that didn't happen. But now he's with Philly, and I guess it was all meant to be. So I know he's excited. I'm very excited, and we want to do something special together.
Dave, and then Ed Kratz.
Hey, Jalen. Do you think this team has put the pieces around you for you to be able to maximize your potential this season?
I think you go into it, you kind of, it's a we all we got, we all we need mentality. And we're going to go out there and go battle and go to work with what we have. I don't get into moves we make and anything like that, but ultimately what matters to me, and I think what matters to the coaches and the players on the team, is going out there and executing your job. You know, I think we'll have complete belief in whoever we put on the field. And we just want to go out there and play good football and win ball games.
Go ahead, Ed, and then Damo.
Hi, Jalen. Just what was your reaction when the Eagles drafted two of your former teammates, Devontae Smith and then Landon Dickerson? And what do they add to this team?
It was talked about prior to me and Devontae. I think about Devontae, and I always tell people the first thing about him, one, the competitor he is, kind of a stoic guy, kind of like myself in a few ways. But he's self-driven, and bringing someone in like that, I think it helps. I think it helps in just the presence of him being here. You know, I look at the late nights we had in college where we, you know, nothing else to do. We go out there and go throw. Or when I host them on his recruiting visit to come to Alabama, you know, usually you want to go maybe go on a strip or, you know, that's like the street, college street in Tuscaloosa. You want to go you want to go to the strip or, you know, find something to get into, party or something like that where his head wasn't on that. You know, he was trying to work. We were in the indoor late at night getting work in. So I think that shows the mentality he has, and I think he's bringing all of that with him here. And with Landon, I didn't get to play with Landon, but I've been in a loop, obviously, and I know the presence he's had after he transferred from Florida State and went to Bama, and you know, he got some dog in him. So
go ahead.
I'm good with it.
Go ahead, Damo and Bo.
Jalen, you mentioned earlier that you don't want to be a repeat offender. What areas going into this offseason did you feel you need to make the most improvement on with your game?
I always felt like it was very important to have a system down. One, getting the system down, being on the same page with the coaches, and having some consistency. And I think consistency comes from, you know, being fundamentally sound, but actually knowing what you're supposed to do and being comfortable with what you're doing. I think that's the biggest thing. So being consistent, excuse me.
Oh, and then Jamie.
Dylan, you touched on this a little bit, but in terms of the, you know, the Alabama culture, with you and Devontae and Landon bringing those guys in, what would you implement from that culture into this culture if you could? And, you know, is it difficult because, like, you know, Nick Saban and Nick Sirianni are not exactly, you know, similar personalities in the way they approach things?
Well, I wouldn't get into a comparison. I think it just kind of matched kind of hand in hand. I think the intent of what Coach Sirianni's doing, and I respect it so much because, I mean, in my head, it makes sense. And I know hearing someone say something with so much conviction, you know, as a player, that brings you closer to one another. And they, you know, you believe in that. You buy into that, and it can spark something great. So that's what we're trying to do ultimately, is trying to, you know, we're buying into what Coach is saying, and want to kind of take the bull by the horn and go out there and play some good football this year.
Jamie and then Howard.
Jalen, I know you said you're not above anything, and we all respect that, and that's great to hear. That being said, we were just talking to Brandon Graham, and he was talking about you specifically and saying how much different it is when you know you're the guy in the building, and how much different it is, you know, to know that it's your team and to be able to lead the team. So that being said, coming into this year too, how does it feel for you around the building, and how different is it?
That's a good question. You know, I think my intent doesn't change. The mentality I have, it doesn't change. The urge and thirst for growth and being a better leader, being a better quarterback, that doesn't change. So I want to obviously impact the people around me in the best way I can. Be somebody that people see as an accountable person, an accountable quarterback, and, you know, to go out there and do my job. You know, at the end of the day, you earn the respect of your teammates when you go out there and make plays and you do those things. So I just want to continue to do that and bring everybody together, you know.
We have Jalen. Sorry, Howard. So we'll go to Howard, Chris, and then Jeff.
Jalen, how much more difficult is it for you as a quarterback to not have 11 on 11s in these camps, not have 7 on 7s. And is it really a disadvantage for a person trying to show people that he is the quarterback for this football team?
Yeah, I won't get into, you know, I won't really get into the things that we can't do, the things that maybe could, you know, hold us back. You know, I see it as this. We want to turn these negative situations into positive. We want to maximize what we do have and go to work. Work is work. You get out what you put in, you know. So we're trying to put in a lot with what we have, right intent, trying to be fundamentally sound in everything we do and just learn, soaking all of this stuff in right now. You have everybody together as a football team, all the guys, offense and defense together with the new coaches for the first time. That's very valuable. So it's important to us, and we're happy to be here.
Jalen, so just to follow up on that, you say you don't want to get into the negative. So is this not having the 11-on-11s and 7-on-7s a negative for a quarterback, especially a new one?
I wouldn't say it's a direct negative. You'd love to do it, but this is the card. These are the cards we are dealt right now. So this is what we have to play with, you know.
All right, thank you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Which Chris are you talking about? Chris Franklin or Chris Murray?
Chris Murray.
Okay, thank you. Jalen, what did you learn from those four starts you had at the end of last season? And another part, a different part of the question would be, you were always competing for starting jobs at both Oklahoma and Alabama. But first, I was wondering if you could talk about what did you learn from being in the starting position? What were some mistakes you made? What were some things you can get better at?
One. I think I mentioned it earlier in a way, but consistency is everything. And not being a repeat offender. Those are two things that I think if you just take away simply from those first four games, I played in, I think those are things that, I hold in high regard. You know, I think knowing that every play counts, every down counts, the football IQ you have in every situation of the football game, it all comes into hand.
Last one here with Jeff Skaversky.
Hey, what's up, Jalen? How are you?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Wanted to ask you about your receivers. One, Devontae, you have a relationship with him, you play with him. How long do you think it'll take for you to really just kind of get back into that rhythm with him? Both you guys have talked about playing with each other. And then on the other side, you know, to have Brager, who's, you know, he's hungry to prove, you know, he was hurt last year, didn't live up to maybe expectations. When you have two receivers like that are hungry and you're hungry, how special can this receiver dynamic be with you at quarterback?
Yeah, I think we're all hungry. We're all hungry. I know Rager is. I know Smitty is. I know that whole entire receiving core is. G Ward, the whole line. I think everybody's hungry. You know, you kind of trigger something in me. You know, everybody's hungry because we didn't finish what we didn't do what we wanted to do last year. You know, it didn't go the way we wanted it to. Ultimately, in the end, we didn't have the outcome we wanted. So, very hungry. And, you know, we don't plan on missing meals.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
So, yeah, what can you do, Jason, as a leader to help the players assimilate with Nick's culture and his scheme? And I guess vice versa as well, help Nick kind of assimilate as well into the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how much I need to help Nick. I think as a leader, your job is to or as a veteran player, you know, your job is really just buy in and embrace everything with an open mindset and do you know, be a guy that's clearly trying to do everything. And you know, it doesn't mean you don't ask questions. It doesn't mean that you don't you know, voice your opinion on things, but you definitely need to be active in welcoming the new cultures, the new mindsets, the new plays, like all of those things. So, you know, that's my biggest job, in my opinion. And then, you know, you're setting that example, obviously, for the younger guys and other guys on the team. You know, this is how we're going to go about this.
Go ahead, Bo, and then Dave Zangaro.
Hey, Jason. You had said at the end of last year that one of the things you enjoyed about going through a difficult season was being able to sort of, you know, see how people responded in the locker room to, you know, to that adversity. I'm curious who made an impression on you the way that they went about things at the end of last year.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, just staying in our room, obviously Jordan Mulata, you know, he got a really good opportunity last year to go out there and showcase how far he's come. As a guy who started out not even understanding how to get in a stance to going out there and playing, you know, live reps in primetime football games. So, you know, Jordan did a tremendous job. Nate Herbig did a tremendous job. You know, Matt Pryor playing through an injury and doing anything he can to help the football team out. You know, I know that the offensive line wasn't, you know, quite as good in a lot of the metrics and whatnot, but, you know, quite frankly, you know, we missed the best right guard in the NFL and Brandon Brooks. Isaac Seumalo went down early. Lane Johnson was out of the lineup a lot. You know, so when you really look at it from that perspective and how many guys really played football at this level for the first time in their careers, I was really very happy, honestly, with a lot of, you know, not just their production, but the way they went about their business. So, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity that a lot of those young guys got last year. For a lot of the guys that we got coming back this year. And we really have a wealth of experience right now in the offensive line room.
Go ahead, Dave, and then Tim.
Hey, Jason. Have you had a chance yet to get to know Landon Dickerson at all? And if so, what are your early impressions of him?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think it's really, you know, I think we're in here for like 4 hours right now. We're limited to so it's not a lot of time. But I got to talk with him yesterday. Mainly, we got lunch down together. You know, I mean, he's as advertised. You know, he's a big, fun guy. Loves the game of football. You can tell that right away. Loves talking about football. You know, he's got a great personality. So, you know, I think that this kid's going to offer a lot to our room. I mean, he's big. He's physical. He's strong. He's smart. You know, he's got all the tools. So, I'm excited to work with him. And, you know, I'm just excited that he's here.
Tim and then Rob Kessner.
Hey, Jason. Curious to get your impressions on Nick Sirianni so far. What stands out about his approach?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I think everybody's seen it whenever he addresses the media. But, you know, he's got energy, man. Every single day, it is not an act of any sort. That's kind of who he is. And he's really excited, you know, to be a head coach. And that's very evident. He's really excited to, you know, have a staff here, to be working with the team. You know, it's even in, you know, the virtual meetings, that was evident. And, you know, he's big on, you know, being connected. He's big on building a culture where, you know, people are not just playing football together, but really forming a bond and being connected outside of football as well. So, you know, there's been a lot of activities centered around creating, you know, those relationships between players to players, players to coaches, and vice versa. And you can tell that's a big part of what he believes in.
Go ahead, Rob, and then Chris Franklin.
Jason, given the unusual nature again of this offseason compared to what it normally is pre-COVID, you believe that you'll be able to get accomplished what you need to get accomplished in this time leading up to camp to be where you need to be with a new coaching staff, with a new offensive coordinator, in order to give yourself a fighting chance once the regular season comes around?
Yeah, I do. Actually, last year's a good thing to draw on. I think we were the only team in the division last year that had a returning coaching staff. The other three teams all had new coaches. And last year there was no off season. It was all virtual, nothing together until training camp. And, sure enough, unfortunately, the only team that had a returning coaching staff was the team that finished dead last. So I think, there's enough time here to get installed what we need to have installed before the games really start happening. There's more than enough time and more than enough opportunities to build this thing and get it dialed in, for this season.
Go ahead, Chris, and then Paul Domowich.
Hey, Jason. The news came out yesterday that you guys were changing a little bit of the way the offseason workouts were going to be. Were you one of the people that spoke with Nick? And also, how will not having those 707 and 11-on-11s during the third phase impact you guys? You guys think it's going to hold you back at all?
So, yes, I was involved in the conversations. And, no, I don't think it'll hold us back. I think that, like we just talked about, there's plenty of opportunities between now and training camp to get those competitive periods in. We actually have preseason games this year, which is different than last year. There's going to be enough time to evaluate guys and to teach all of these techniques and everything like that. And if anything, I think this lends itself a little bit more to what Nick has talked about. He's really talked about technique and fundamentals being such a big part of his coaching style and his methods. And that's what we're working on right now. Maybe it's not in a 7-on-7, 11-on-11 live period, but sometimes the best way to work on those fundamentals and those techniques are to really hone them in with your position coaches, really do them in controlled situations, and then you take it to the competitive situation. So I think that this actually could be beneficial in the way that Nick's philosophy works and what he believes in. And I'm sure that we'll still find ways to compete throughout these weeks. That's also a big part of his. It obviously won't be with those two periods, but we'll still find a way to try and beat each other. There's no doubt about that.
Go ahead, Damo, and then John McMullen.
Hey, Jace. A couple months back, Jeffrey Lurie described this as a transition period after last season, kind of compared it to 2016. Do you agree with that? And as a guy who is 33 years old and may or may not play after this season, how do you feel going into this season?
Well, there's no question we're in a transition period. We have a new head coach, a new coaching staff completely, new quarterback. There's a lot of change that's happened within the building. And so without question, we're in a transition period. I think the biggest difference between football and a lot of other sports is that being in a transition period doesn't mean that you can't compete and be competitive. Like we saw with a lot of new coaches last year, a lot of the new coaching staffs who had no time to prepare throughout the whole offseason in the given situations with COVID and everything performed really well. The Browns are a great example. I think that the bottom line is, we can be competitive, win games. We can win this division. I have no doubt about that. If we go out there about it the right way, we improve. We continue to get better as a team. And we can also be in a transition period. I think that that's the best way to transition because we'll be able to do it in a way that we're still winning ball games while building this thing for the future. So I'm excited to be a part of that. I'm excited to come back and to help in this transition as a veteran player. I think that that's a big part of my role is aiding in this transition. So, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Thanks.
We'll go to John and then Zach Berman.
Hey, Jason, to kind of follow up on that change you were talking about at this stage of his career, obviously, I'm sure you weren't happy about the way things went last year, went sideways. But personally, does that give you a little bit more energy coming into this season?
In terms of what? I'm sorry, John.
In terms of just, this late in your career as a veteran player, obviously you had so much success with Doug. But it is new. It is a change. Does that, in a weird way, give you a little bit more energy?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it, you know, whenever there's new things happening and different cultures being set, different people that you've never met before, anytime there's environments like that, I think that the energy is probably a little bit higher. I don't want to say that, I still feel like we had really good energy with Doug and those staffs. I mean, I don't want to say that it had gone by the wayside, because I don't believe that. But anytime there's something new, I mean, you got to be dialed in. You know, you're getting new terminology every single day. You're getting, a new way we're lifting weights, a new way we're doing this, a new way we're doing that. And you're learning that on a daily basis. So you have to be locked in. You know, it's not like, I'm in my fifth camp with Doug and we've installed these plays the last 5 years. I know exactly what's going on. Now everything might be just a hair different, but that different difference makes a big deal come game time. So, I think that the attention to detail is certainly higher and really locked in at this point in the stage with everything being so new. Yep.
We have time for two more, so we'll go to Zach and then Jamie.
Hey, Jason. I guess first off, I'm with the second baby. Congratulations there.
Thank you.
As far as your decision to come back, do you weigh it entirely on how you're feeling, wanting to play, or do you view the roster, the team, the direction of the franchise in that decision?
I would say I look at it more intrinsically. I don't try and speculate too much on what I think the season's going to end up being. Maybe some people say you're naive, but I go into every game thinking we're going to win the game. And I go into every season thinking we're going to be successful. I believe in the guys in this building. I believe in my teammates. I think that that's part of being a part of a team. So, I don't know that that really ever changes that much. I think most of it is just, very intrinsically thinking about, okay, how did that season end? You're trying to remember how you felt at the end of it, because, you got to give it your all and be there and be committed to your teammates and coaches for the entirety of the season. And you try and, think, can you do that again? Do you want to do that again? And, once I, stepped away long enough and was able to think about that clearly, there was no question that I wanted to do another one. So that's really how that decision, I guess, or thought process happens.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Jason, on that note, how difficult was that decision for you last year? How much introspection did that take? And, you're a guy also that takes things so personally, and did the fact that Doug lost his job and Carson's out of here weigh on you all offseason? And can you just describe all of that?
Obviously whenever, friends of yours are either, let go or they moved on, that's a big part, whether it's a teammate or, a friend off the field, anything that's going to be in the back of your mind. But again, I don't think that that has much to do with the decision to come back. And, deciding to play football is, in my opinion, very much about whether I can dedicate myself in the proper way to my teammates and my coaches. It's less about do I want to do it, because I'm always going to want to play football. Physically, can I make that dedication and make that sacrifice in the way that I think is acceptable to the game and to my teammates? And that's the way that it happens. And I feel like I'm still able to do that. I still feel like I can do that. And I'm excited to go out there and do it again.
Yo, Brandon, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think of the schedule that's been put together for the off season. Did you have any input in that? And also, do you think that the Eagles have done enough with this roster in the off season for you guys to have a chance of success this year?
Just to answer that question, I feel good. I feel like last year injuries hurt us. But we got a lot of guys coming back. We got some new guys in here. We got new coaches. I mean, man, it's a lot. It's a lot of good stuff going on. And being in on those meetings, coming up with a nice little schedule to try to get to learn each other, learn the scheme, so that we can be playing fast by training camp. Man, I think we came up with a good little plan to make sure that everybody be able to play fast and know exactly what coaches are looking for when a training camp comes.
Thank you.
Send them Dave Zangaro.
Okay. Yeah, I got to ask a question. I know you're on the defensive side of the ball, but dating back to the last four games of the season and coming up to this part, how much of a leader has Jalen Hurts been for the locker room? How, you know, and how have the guys have been responding, or how have the guys been responding to him in that locker room?
I think even last year he was working his butt off every day. You see the work ethic is there. You see that he really wants to be great. So, I mean, that was something that you've seen from day one, off his habits, off what he do on and off the field. But now that he's the guy, it's going to be a lot different, because now the expectations is up there now. I mean, you got to keep on doing your regimen, which I see he's doing. And I think he's having fun, man. I think when you know you the guy, it definitely put a little pep in your step a little more. And you want that and it builds that confidence that you already have inside you. But, you know, it grows even more now that people believe in you.
Go to Dave and then Damo.
Hey, Dave had to jump off the call.
Okay. We'll go to Damo and then Zach Berman.
Hey, Brandon. How you doing?
What's up?
Brandon, we haven't had a chance to talk to Jonathan Gannon yet, so we don't kind of have a feel for what he wants to do scheme-wise. But if we're going by what he did and what that staff did in Indianapolis, where he was, seems like it's not that much different from Schwartz. From the standpoint of relying on his front four for most of the pass rush. I mean, is that what we're going to largely see, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play the strengths of what we have here. I mean, that's what makes a great coach, and I already see that he gonna play exactly to our strengths. He wants. That's why we're here, trying to figure things out, come in the middle on what he's asking us to do and what we already kind of know. And so it's a good blend. I'm excited. I think that, Gannon comes with just like Coach Sirianni, with the high level of energy. I mean, you know, that's right up my alley. I'm loving all that, because that's me every day too. And so, I think it's just us just trying to get on the same page, but they want to play to the strengths of the roster of who's here already. And I think, they're doing a good job of, just some coming up with some plans of what they're thinking. Come training camp.
A quick follow-up to that, Brandon, if I may. The addition of Ryan Kerrigan, your reaction to it, your thoughts on it?
Oh, I love that, man. I mean, you can't have too many pass rushes at all. And, you know, in those moments, I mean, I hear people talk about, like, just even like him being like how we use Chris Long. I mean, man, Chris Long was a beast. And, you know, Kerrigan's a beast. He's been with, 10-plus years. And, man, to see him on the other side now with us, I know I'm excited, because I know what he brings to the table. And you got to have that competition in your room. I mean, I've been here long enough to know that you can't have too many pass rushers, and people get hurt all the time. And you got to make sure that you can have that reload of guys that can, you know, give you the same production, if not better, than the guys that's out there first.
Go ahead, Zach, and then Jeff.
Hey, Brandon, you said you've been here long enough. You are the longest tenured player now, assuming the Eagles don't bring back Jason Peters. What does that distinction mean to you, if anything? And is it surprising to you that you are at this point the longest tenured player?
Man, you know, I'm very thankful. I'm always trying to make sure I keep that chip on my shoulder, because at the end of the day, you never think that, man, I'm in year 12 and, yeah, how people view me, I'm the old guy and this and that, but with that chip on my shoulder, man, I just want to go out there and just keep proving that I can, you know, still play in this league. And I want to walk out on my own terms, hopefully with another ring, and that's the goal. And I think we definitely got a shot to do that. But with me being the longest tenor Eagle, it just, I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm a lead by example, but I'll be a little more vocal now, because a lot of guys want to know, you know, how to get to this level of being here this long. And I tell them it's the regimen. It's how you treat people every day, how you handle yourself. And, man, and, you know, by the grace of God, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Because injuries, you can't stop. You never know, but I know I try to do all my preventatives, and that's working out, making sure that I'm getting my massages and all that little stuff. So I'm just trying to pass on the knowledge to the younger guys and younger generations. So when I'm coming back and I see some guys that's been here and they're going on year 12 and they've been here a long time like me, you know, it's going to make me feel good because I know, you know, they was listening.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then John McMullen.
Hey, Brandon. You know, as the longest tenured player, you've now been a part of four different coaching staffs and now three changes. So with Chip, obviously, we knew there was a lot of change there, culture change, scheme change. And with Doug, it was kind of like a return to Andy in some ways in the schedule. What can you tell us about Nick and the changes that he's brought about and how they feel in relation to those two prior changes?
You know, it's just a younger version, I feel like, of the Andy Reid era. I feel like we got similar schedule, but it's just like more hip to the new school year, I mean era, because we got a lot of competition stuff in the building, a lot of stuff that's changed that we didn't have. I love the energy that he brings every day. But I do see, you know, he has some of those old school, you know, things that, you know, that work for Coach Reid, work for Doug, even with Frank leaving. Frank, I'm sure, running the same type of show that Coach Reid did over there with Indy, got with his own little twist. But I think Coach Sirianni definitely is more hip to what's going on today, just a younger version, and just want to make sure that we all are on the same page and we all try to build a family around here as we always try to each and every year.
John, and then Ed Benkin.
Hey, Brandon. You mentioned some of the changes on the coaching staff. From a personal level, the biggest change for you is, I guess, Tracy Rocker. So can you give us the first impressions of him as a coach? And also, have you met some of the young guys? Teron, have you met him, your first impression? And even Patrick Johnson, he's kind of an edge rusher.
Man, them boys look good. You know, I can see – man, I got to stay on my game because these boys out here looking good. I mean, you know, usually when you see rookies coming in, you be like, okay, I see where they got to learn. I see where they got to work. But these guys, I mean, it look like they've been here a couple years already. I mean, the way they move and the way they look in shape. I just can't wait to, you know, be able to pour into these guys and let them know what all I've been through. And as we build this relationship, I just want to give them everything, man, because I'm at a point in my career now where I know, you know, who I am as a player. I know what I got to do to get right. And so I'm just trying to help them know what they have to do and just know what it takes each and every day, one day at a time. Try not to look too far ahead. Don't get overwhelmed with too much. Just if you don't know something, ask, you know, open your mouth, because these are the times right now to make those mistakes. But those guys look good, man. I can see the future is bright. Definitely with those guys, just got to stay healthy. And man, for me, I gotta pick my game up. And that's what I love, you know, just that competition, man. I see these boys, they hungry. And that's all you can ask for as a player coming in, just the hunger. I can see it.
And Tracy Rocker?
Yeah, Coach Rocker, smooth, funny, like got a funny way of, you know, how he does things, you know, slick at the mouth. You know, it's a lot of fun, man. Like, I love how he holds us accountable already. I mean, I could tell that we're going to be fighting for him because he already got our respect. I mean, because he ain't coming in. He's coming in being him. And I think that that always speaks volumes because, you know, some people come in, they get the position, and you know how it could go. They could lose their mind sometimes because – they got the position of power that they always wanted. But I think Coach Rocker, he's been in the game for a long time. And, you know, I'm loving what he's bringing, the energy that he's bringing out on the field. I could tell it's going to translate well with the guys because it's already doing it for the past couple of days we've been here.
Go ahead, Ed, and then Rube.
Hi, Brandon. With all the uncertainty going into the offseason workouts, the fact that you and the coaching staff were able to sit down and work something out together, how much does that help even early on build a lot of that trust with the new staff and understand there's a lot of good open communication between the staff and the players?
Man, I thought that was very big because Coach reached out to us, you know, hey, man, how can we make this thing work? And that's what we sat down, we talked about it, And we seen where he wanted to go, and when he seen where we wanted to go, and we came in the middle. And really, it was just all about learning each other, competing, and making sure that we being able to play fast once we come back to training camp, and make it more of a teaching thing during the off season, especially with a new coach, because you want to get all this, you got a lot of information coming your way, and things gonna move a lot faster, especially when you get out on the field. But it's nice that things are kind of slowed down even more on the field, just so that we can learn everything, so that when training camp comes, it's rapid fire, because, you know, once the season comes, it's time to go. I mean, everything gets sped up even more. And I think, with Coach doing that, it already showed the level of trust that that he already have in us to be able to reach out and try to come in the middle. Because most coaches, are players coaches, and I can see that he's a players coach. But, you know, you got some that comes in and just, this is my system, this is what works. And, you know, y'all guys just bow down to it, and it don't work like that in the NFL. It's a lot different than college.
All right, we have time for a few more. So we'll go to Rube, Bo, and then Jamie.
Hey, BG, how's it going?
All right.
Hey, you spoke really highly of the rookies on the D-line. It's early. I mean, you haven't seen them in pads yet. You've only been around them a few days. What have you seen this quickly, this soon, that gives you a good feeling about them?
Just how they move, like how they built. You know, some of these guys, I'm like, ooh, this boy built like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like already swole, moving around. I love how they changing directions. Just the dig that you get from them, from the way they, you know, putting their feet in the ground, the way they run into the ball. I mean, I'm just like, you know, they got me on my toes. Like, hey, they keep me on my toes. Like, hey, man, let me go ahead, you know, make sure I'm looking good too. I mean, that's what I love. I mean, it just bring the beast out of you, because when you see guys that you feel, it's like, man, these boys, you know, they working, and you know that you got to stay on your game. I mean, you know, you headed in the right direction, and all I ever want to do is do all I can for this organization. And if I got to help these young guys, you know, because they the future. I mean, I've been the guy that was a young guy and it was the future. And now it's my time to, you know, start passing that torch as we go, and just trying to help. I still got a lot I could do, but I know I ain't going to be here long. And so I try to pour into these young guys now, man, let them know it's going to take every day, and it's going to take all of us. And we all got to not have our own agenda. We got to all be trying to get each other better. And that's what make us better as a unit. And so that's why I'm trying to instill in them boys now, man. Always had that competitive edge, but always know that it's going to take that guy over there to make sure that it makes your job easier. Because if I trust that Fletch going to be where he going to be, and I trust that Hargrave going to be where he going to be, and I ain't got to worry about him, you know, it makes my job easier, and it just makes me want to just do my job even more, because I know I got guys believing in me. So I think we gonna have a good tight unit. I love what I'm feeling already with the D-line. And, man, I just love that these guys came in ready to learn, and that's what you can see. They came in not knowing everything, not trying to know it all, but just want to they give you that respect, but they just want to work.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Bo.
Hey, Brandon, you said there's like a lot of competition stuff in the building under Sirianni. I wonder if you could give us some examples.
It's cool. I don't know how the whole hoop thing gonna go, but we got a basketball hoop in the team meeting room. We're gonna have some fun. I know if it's gonna be shots up for certain stuff not to happen, or certain stuff to happen. If somebody make this, somebody make that, and then it's just gonna be a bunch of mouthing, you know, back and forth. But it's gonna get everybody all hype. You know how it is when you got some stuff that's not just particularly with ball, and now we talking a different sport, that's basketball, and let's see who can shoot, let's see who can do this, and coach gonna call you out. And what I love the most about what they do, you know, they hold you accountable in those meetings. They make sure they keep you on edge, because you never know when coach gonna call on you to see what you know, and you just gotta make sure you stay on point. And I think that always goes well, because it keeps everybody interested and engaged. So, man, that's so far so good from just what I've seen so far. But everything else, I'm not sure. That's the only thing I've seen that's different. Everything else is just, we haven't been able to do a lot of stuff just yet, because we haven't sat in the meeting rooms and we haven't did certain stuff all together. But I'm sure he got some more stuff coming our way.
Thank you.
Last one here with Jamie.
Hey, BG. Good to see you again. So you
Comcast, baby. Comcast.
Nice. Okay. So, you know, you take things personally. You're a guy that doesn't like losing, obviously. How much of a chip on your shoulder do you have coming into the season with the way things went last year, with the fact that Doug lost his job and Carson left? How much of a chip on your shoulder do you have coming into the season, and how re-energized are you to get this thing turned around?
I'm ready to get it turned around. I know we can do that. I know that injuries didn't help us last year at all, but we got a lot of guys coming back. I can't wait to see Brooks out there, Lane. I can't wait to see our O-line out there getting after it, because I feel like them guys play well together, just even with us. And, you know, I'm just excited, man, because I feel like that stuff happened in the past and stuff that we didn't like, and some and COVID definitely didn't help a lot of people, but we all got better, I feel like, because we adjusted to whatever was thrown at us, and it didn't stop us. Yeah, some people lost their job, but I feel like it was, you never know, was it for the greater good, or, you know what I'm saying? You would only know as time goes, but I'm excited for what's here now, man, and I'm just ready to, you know, get after it and show and prove to the world that, you know, we made the right choice in coach. And even with Gannon, you know, I want to make sure that we got his back out there on the field by playing good and playing lights out and at least giving ourselves a chance to win these games come this fall.
BGN.